the Scriptures, and I'm only asking it because I believe it's what the Lord has for these moments, and ask you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41. I want to begin my assignment tonight by pointing out the verse that rung a bell in my heart, and that would be verse number 10. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Let me give you just a little overview as to where we find ourselves in chapter 41. This scripture gives us at least the bank waters of God's children about to be overtaken into Babylonian captivity. And it is my persuasion that the God of heaven is trying to encourage his people to understand some of the coming forces and complications in their life. One of the most perplexing and difficult things that we find happening in the lives of people is that people don't understand that God does forewarn people, his people in particular, sometimes about some things that are going to come to pass, some things that we're going to have to live through. And I realize that sometimes God doesn't always tell me everything I'm going to face or what I'm going through, and I really believe I know part of the reason why that is. If the Lord told me everything, I'd get scared. It's my nature to want to run from problems. I don't know how it is in your nature, but I don't go looking for trouble. I'm not like some of these knuckleheads that believe it's all right to challenge everybody and shoot anything. I believe every once in a while people use a scatter gun and hurt a lot of innocent people because they don't understand what's behind everything that's going on. It's not my intent tonight to hurt anybody. It's my intent to try to lead people where there's hope, and I believe the Bible shares that there's hope. Amen. I want to preach tonight, as God will help me, on forgotten promises. When we start thinking about the Word of God, we know that it has the key to every element of our earthly life. I'm not talking about something that's going to be on tomorrow. I'm talking about something that's already in today. I'm not talking about a book that's somewhere out in the future going to have meaning. I'm talking about a book that has meaning already right now. When I think about it, I have to call to mind that every once in a while I forget just how precious the Word of God is. This book is a book of great purpose. It's a book of great power. It's a book of great provision. And the real prescription for men's problem is listed in Isaiah 41. God says that this is a prescription for his people. Now we know that the judgment of God cannot be denied. Isaiah prophesies about the coming judgment on the Lord's people. And those southern tribes are under tremendous strain. They can't wiggle out of it. They can't talk out of it. There's only one way they can get out from under the judgment of God, and that is to repent of their sins, fall down on the mercy of God, and run toward God himself. Now, I want to say this flat-footed tonight. There's a lot of people trying to find a way out. There's only one way out. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I feel a little bit better about it already. Forgotten promises. Isaiah not only speaks of the coming judgment on the people of God, he wants us to know that this ministry spans to pull a curtain that they need to know exists in their life. In all honesty, Isaiah prophesies during the reign of men like Uzziah and Hezekiah and Jotham and Ahaz, and all those men are men that he had to speak to during his day of prophecy. But he brought a message not only of judgment on the children of Israel because of their idol worship and their idol ways and their wickedness that was dark. He offered them hope. I like hope, don't you? I like the thoughts of knowing that God is a God of hope. As a matter of fact, this book, Isaiah, has 66 chapters. I've said this many times over. It is what they call a miniature Bible. It is what entitles in the first 39 chapters an old covenant. Oh yeah, and the latter portion of it are 27 that identify the new covenant, just like our Bible, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. What we find that was judgment and what we find was law in the first 39 is clarified with a great curtain pulled about the good graces of God in the latter chapters. I like grace, don't you? I like what grace does. I like how grace affects my life. I like how grace touches my heart. I like how God Almighty is interested in everything that touches my life. God is speaking to his children. He's going to offer them hope only by their repenting of their sin. God ain't gonna let me out. God ain't gonna let you out. God ain't gonna let nobody else out. If we get inside the gates of great God Almighty, if we get inside the gates of heaven, we'll have to go by the Lord himself. We can't find any other way. An offering of hope. Isaiah's prophecy, it included the overthrow of Judah. It included them walking into the Babylonian captivity days. And God's special people. By the way, the Lord prophesied the coming of the Messiah. He wanted them to know, you can't get no higher hope than Jesus. You can't get no greater thrust than to know that God had a perfect plan. And I want to say today that Isaiah has a special role in speaking to God's children. He's completing their life. He shows us how fragile we are. And tonight, we're not going to make believe anything. We're going to take it as a realist would. We're going to take day-to-day hardships and day-to-day complications and day-to-day problems. And we're going to find out tonight, according to Isaiah, how easy it is to get discouraged. Promises forgotten leads us to nothing but trenches of despair. Did you hear what I said? Promises that are forgotten leads us to trenches of despair. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight, read this verse maybe in Isaiah 41, beginning in verse number 10. If you found it, would you say amen? He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You can be seated. I think there are several elements now that Isaiah is revealing to us. First of all, man cannot make it without the indwelling presence of Almighty God. Now, I don't know about y'all. It's just a tad bit warm up here to me, and that requires a different measure for me to feel comfortable. So I'm going to have to shed my first coat. And I want you to understand with me tonight that God's presence made a difference in Isaiah's message and his prophecy. Number one, I want you to be mindful that the Lord appears when his people need him. I'm glad, glory to God, that the Lord don't forsake me when I need him. He said, fear thou not. Now, God knows what's on the inside of his children. Now I want to tell you what your biggest problem is tonight is your own fears. You got a problem with it. Everybody else does too. So what the Lord does is he tells them that they were to fear thou not, for I am with thee. Don't tell me the presence of God doesn't make a difference in people's lives. If they've got to take you into an operating room and open up your flesh, I'll guarantee you, you want somebody to be present besides that doctor. You want somebody with greater skilled hands than some human being. You'll need somebody that's got power up in glory that manipulates our society and can take care of business. I want to say, first of all, like Isaiah said, I'm glad for the presence of God. Number one, the presence of God, I can defeat all fear. He said, fear not. That is, don't be put to fear. Now, we're going to have to be honest tonight. All of us have had things that frightened us. If you go and have an unfamiliar pain in your body, and you don't know what's wrong, and you don't know what's going on, and you say, I've got to go to the doctor, and he saw something that's kind of puzzling to him and a little perplexing to him, you know it'll trouble your world. It'll shake the foundation of your life until you sense the power of God's presence. I don't know about everybody, but I've been to some of those days when I needed the Lord to reveal himself to me and to show himself mighty to me and be great in his presence. I'm glad God's present with us tonight. So what he was doing, he was settling their fear on two or three levels.
Number one, I believe the Lord is trying to prep them and prompt them to understand what's coming. You don't have to worry about being afraid tomorrow, because God's got everything in his hands today. Before the world was created, he had everything in place that he knew was necessitated. You said, I don't understand. According to Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 24, the Bible said, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. God revealed himself to Abraham. He propped him up when he had no energy of his own. He gave him vision when he had no sight of his own. He gave him eyes when he had nothing to look with. And he gave him feeling when he had no heart apart from the heart of God to touch him. I want to tell you, the presence of God changes everything. The presence of God will change you. And the presence of God changes me. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, verse number 8. All of these about the Lord stealing. You said, just how does I fear leave? Bless God, it can't reside where the Lord's power is. That's what I'm talking about. The fear can't hang around where the power of God dominates. What a wonderful thing to think about. Deuteronomy 31, verse number 6 says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. I'm glad that the presence of God is ever going with his children. One of the greatest blessings of that Ark of the Covenant is that the Lord had them priests to take that ark and to set it out in front. Don't tell me that God's hiding behind the scene. God's always been in the lead. God's always gone before his children. Before you were and before I was, God was. Forgotten promises. Every once in a while I forget just how real God is. So the Lord told his children, by the way, I'm glad I'm one of his children tonight. He said, fear not. Don't you be frightened. Don't you be put to fear. Don't be made afraid. But I'm going one step deeper. I found a Hebrew word down in the embedding of that word that describes dread. God said, don't, in spite of how everything looks, don't you dread what might happen. Bless God, I'm not living on what might happen. I'm living on what is. Forgotten promises. He said in verse number 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I don't know about a lot of people, but I know one thing that gives me great confidence, and that is to know that the Lord is with me, that he's on me, and that he's in me. And the Bible also said in the 8th verse of Deuteronomy 31, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You say, why does that matter? I'll tell you why it matters. It's because people will tell you they'll be with you, and when they get in trouble, you can't find them. They'll tell you they'll help you, and then they have problems on their own and they'll forget you. You said, what does that mean, Pastor? That means they are all out of resources. I want to tell you tonight, I have a God that has all kinds of resources. I don't have time to develop it, but I'll throw it out there for thought. He has creative resources. The Bible says that in the beginning, God, when there was nothing else, the Lord by himself was good company. For the record, God put man in a garden with everything he needed to enjoy living. You said, preacher, what are you living for? We ought to be living for God. Amen. I know a lot of people are living for themselves. They don't want anything but what they want. But when the time comes that what they want doesn't matter, and cancer's eating away at their body, and their heart's about ready to blow out, and their liver's quit working, I guarantee you they will start crying out to somebody and calling for somebody to help me. Forgotten promises. God knew how fragile his children were. Now I want to say to you tonight, as flat-footed as I can, I want to tell you, we need a revival of our mind. We need to settle things as the Bible settled them. I'm glad God is with me, and I'm glad God will not forsake me, and I'm glad God will not fail me. Look around us tonight. Things are failing on every hand. Every day we turn to, it leads us to a new chapter to be read about life. Some of it right now is embodied with economic crisis. Global crisis. They're writing a new chapter in the book tonight. If strategists are right, they really believe we're on the verge of another collapse. In other words, what they're doing is painting us a dark picture. Let me tell you something tonight. If all we ever do is sit around and listen at CNN or CBS or ABC, bless God, we'll be defeated. We're not living on CNN, ABC, or none of the rest of them. We're living on the Word of God. And according to my Bible, the Bible said, fear thou not. I'm not living on Washington, praise God. I'm living on the one that put everything where it is tonight. And his name is the Lord. What God did was encourage him through his presence. He said, I'm going to be with you. And I'll tell you something. I got some pretty good friends. One of my friends called me yesterday. We talked a long time. And he said, I miss you. I said, I miss you too. And we began to reminisce about old times and good things. But we wound up around the cross. We started thinking about the one thing that put us where we are is the good grace of God. And I start thinking about my fingers on my hand tonight. I'm reminded that those fingers are a touch of God's wonderful graces. And it reminds me of everything I touch that the Lord himself is permitting me to have one more opportunity. Amen. Think about 25 years of pointing my finger and preaching unto people. I want to tell you something. I'll lay the old armor down one of these days and call it quits. I'll gather in a place around the throne where I shall shout for eternal ages about how wonderful the Lord's good graces has been to me. But you know what? I'm not just waiting until I get to glory to thank God for how good he is. I'm thanking him tonight for his wonderful presence. I don't know how many people can recognize it, but I can tell you when the power of God is on my preaching. If you could buy it, I'd buy it. You just cannot buy it. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. You said, preacher, why did he put that in there? Because he knew they needed him. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. You know the one thing that'll help us? The one thing that'll help us more than anything else is learning to seek the will of God. We need to quit talking about so much stuff and just trust that God's going to do it right. All this whining and belly aching and all this stuff that's crowding our minds, we need to let go of it. It ain't going to help you. It ain't going to help me. And it won't add nothing to the kingdom. He said, be not. Be not. And I tell you, God don't say nothing he don't mean. Fear not. You know, the Lord knows exactly what's going on in the life of people. He said, for I am with thee. Then he said, be not dismayed. Now I want to tell you something that I think is more prevalent than we think that it is. The word for being dismayed there is the word that describes a person looking around in amazement. We need not be astonished by what's happening to our life. God's a good God. He always gives the best. No second-rate stuff with the Lord. You don't get second-hand encouragement from God. It's always first class. We have a South Carolina saying, and everything that we do's got that label on it, top of the line. I mean, boy, if we was going to find something, we wanted to describe it down to the very foundation, we'd say, well, it's top of the line right there. You just can't get no better than that. Can I say tonight that the presence of the God, presence of Almighty God is the best that a man can get? Joshua had so many times, so many places to go, so many things to experience. And in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 5, he said, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Now I want to tell you, that's pretty good encouragement right there. That'd make you want to fight hell with a water pistol. Think about it. God made a promise. Do you think there's any promises that we have forgotten? Maybe somehow or another, when we get to our lowest low and our darkest night, we don't feel like we've got a friend in the world. We don't feel like we got a hope in our heart. And God comes by and said, "Hey, can I just remind you of who I am? And hey, can I just remind you of where I am? I'm right there with you." Bible said, the Lord said, "And yea, I shall be with you always, even to the end." I'm glad the Lord's presence makes a difference. He said, "As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Don't tell me people don't have a problem with fear in their life. All around us, people have a problem. Oh, they're not too afraid when they're in good health. And they're not too afraid when they got a little bit of money in the bank. And they're not too afraid when it looks like everything just the way that they would ever desire it. It's when it begins to pick itself away one at a time. Some of you can testify, "You know, I didn't take it for what God was doing in my life until I didn't have it. And then the Lord reminded me of how good His presence was in my life and in my family's life." I mean, some of us have had more and some of us have had less. It makes a big difference, doesn't it? But the Lord reminded His servant. He reminded His people. He said, "I want you to understand one thing and lock it down. Hone in on it. Fear thou not, for I am with thee." I want to tell you, my darkest night is when I felt like I was by myself. My coldest day is when I felt like no one was there to warn me. But great God up in heaven, the day that the Lord came and showed Himself mighty, it encouraged me. Psalm 16 verse 11, "Thou wilt shew me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasures forevermore." I want to say tonight, if it was good enough at 20, listen to me, I got saved in 1981, almost 30 years. God's been good to me. You said, "Well, it ain't always been a bed of roses, has it?" Well, you're smarter than that, aren't you? Has yours? What I want to tell you is the Lord reveals Himself. There are pleasures forevermore. We not only have to be encouraged tonight by the Lord's presence, we have to be reminded of the Lord's promises. I just want to drill this home to you. Not only when He told them to fear not, for He was with them, He said, "Be not dismayed." There's a couple things that happen when people get concerned and worried and troubled. They have a tendency to look away from God. I read a little article recently about this drunkard that found himself looking for a piece that he lost, and the man came by, and he said, "What's the matter, sir?" He said, "I've lost something." And he told him what it was, and he said, "Well, I'll help you find it." And he said they looked for hours and they couldn't find it. And he said, after looking and with no success, he said, "I turned back to the old fella and I said, 'Sir, where did you lose it?' He said, 'I lost it back down there.' He said, 'Well, why are you not looking back down there?' He said, 'There ain't no light down there.'" Oh, the light's come on for me, did it for you? I want to tell you, people looking in the wrong places. You might laugh at a drunk, but I know people that profess to know God and they're looking in the wrong place. He said, "Fear not, for I am the Lord." Fear not. He knew what their need was. I want to say tonight, He knows what my need is. He knows what your need is. Don't worry about whether God knows what's happening or not. He ain't going to have to call nobody and ask them what to do. Thank you. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Can I give you one little piece that might help you? It is the word bewildered. You know, it's like a person that has no sense of distinction for where they are. Hey, a people that have no distinction of who they are. I want to tell you something. I don't know how it is with every other parent, but I don't care where my kids went, they were still my children. We were talking recently, and some old timers said something to me. Said, "You preacher, it used to be that if children was cutting up, said we whipped all of them's butt." I said, "Yeah, that's how it used to be, but I tell you, you better be careful about grabbing somebody's child up today. Be the biggest conflict you ever had." You say, why? Because we're living in a generation that has no mindset for discipline. Now, the truth is, the average man and woman wouldn't be looking to spank somebody else's child. You know what brought me to a greater caution about raising children? Is I have some. And I want to tell you, as I look back on it, I can see multiple mistakes that I've made. And I can't do one thing about them. But I can tell you what I find myself doing now. I'm not as keyed up with how children do now as I was when I was trying to raise my own. The little things that kids do that used to annoy me, they don't bother me like that no more. I've lived just long enough to know it'll be all right. Man, I'd get all twisted up, and I'd have them twisted up, bless God, before it's all over. I mean, just thinking about where they were, the Lord knew that they were. He said, don't you be bewildered. How can it happen? How can it be, Pastor? Because the Lord's presence is with them. Great God, I'm hung up right here. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I like to hear people tell me, well, the Lord was with me the other day. But I want to tell you, I like to know that he's with me too. Isn't that good? He said, for I am thy what? God. For I am thy God. Now see, in an average individual's life, they can't appreciate that word. You have to be a student of Scripture to appreciate that word. That word is a Hebrew word that describes God to a Hebrew as the exceeding exceptional God. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? He would have been considered the mighty Elohim. Can't nobody stand up to it. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Boy, when God looked in the eyeballs of little old Joshua, he said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Be not dismayed, neither be thou. Lord God, when you talk about getting out of the traces, I can't help but believe when he went in and saw that land, he saw not only how great it was, but he saw it was theirs by faith. You know what? We've forgotten many of promises. But they're not our promises till we have faith in them. Now, don't challenge me now. I got enough theology behind me that I know where I'm at. I want to tell you right now, this book won't mean nothing till you start applying it to yourself. I mean, I got caught in this theological trap. And I was going to school. That's all I've ever done since I started preaching is go to school. And I got caught up in this thing, you know, I got to tell people this. I got to tell them something. Well, I found out a long time ago who studies and who don't. I mean, you can tell if a man's got something to say and he don't have nothing to say. It ain't been that just long. Just for the record, the other Wednesday night, bless God, I didn't lay out. I went to church. And then got about 15 minutes or so into it, and I wrote a note, and I don't never do that to Dolores. I said, he ain't had time to study. Ain't that what I wrote? Yes, sir. There's two things make me want to preach, a man that can and a man that can't. And I thought to myself, in a wonderful, big, extravagant-looking building, and man, some of the best music you ever heard in your life, and I'm thinking, dear God, get on with it. Tell me something. I mean, I didn't go to church to die. I could have read it as Dr. Thad Dowell, one of my friends at Fruitland Bible Institute, said. I mean, we could have stayed home and read this to ourselves.
Boy, I can see now the Lord shows him his presence. Let me give you a couple little pieces here that might make forgotten promises. I want to tell you something. You can forget a lot of things, but if you ever forget the promises of God, you're in trouble. I said, you're in trouble. There are so many times. You see, you won't get a better commentary than your Bible. I'm not, do you understand the average person, every once in a while they say, boy, I just never seen that. You could have if you just read it. I mean, under God, I don't try to manipulate this. That same old Bible program I put on your computer. Man, I go to that program and I key up this stuff and I search these words out and I find out how many times they're recorded and how many places they're recorded in and the people, who was the people that they were speaking to. You can find out the same stuff I do. But I'll tell you one thing I've learned to do on it now, that after 25 years of preaching that means more to me than anything, I learned to meditate on it. I get more preaching just through reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and then eating it and eating it and eating it and eating it. And all of a sudden it opens up to me. I start thinking, you know, Lord, were you indicating that you were telling them they didn't have to be afraid because you were present? And God said, yes. Oh, yes. And I said, Lord, let me make sure I understand it right. Are you also indicating to me that Lord, what you were to them in your presence, you would be me to me in your presence? And he said, that's right. Oh, you say, where did he say that at? Right here. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I can see not only did the Lord describe to them the clarity of his presence secured their lives, but his peace satisfied the longing of their heart. Can't find that in a Sears and Roebuck catalog. When I was a boy, I think that's about right. That about how big that catalog used to be. Oh, God. They didn't do it like they do now. You didn't get them but once or twice a year. They was pretty stingy. They didn't have to do too much advertising because they didn't too many have too much money to buy with it. But every once in a while, they did the Christian, they did the Christmas edition. The Christmas edition. And it had all these things that children could look through there. And I will never forget flipping through that old Sears catalog, boy. And back then, Western Alto, Firestone, some of them boys was in there, and they had a couple little things. And Dylan, you ain't got nothing but crazy people and a couple stores, and that's about all. But I remember flipping through that thing, boy, and I marked the page. They come out with that little bicycle called Apollo Racer. Oh, man, I thought that was a fine-looking little bike. We went uptown, and I remember walking into that old store. I thought, boy, I'd like to have me one of them. I wouldn't dare say it. Boy, my mama's worked all her life. She'd give her life for us. I'll tell you, God knows she's a good woman. She was good when she was lost, in my opinion. She was good. Goodness won't get you to heaven, by the way, but she was a good woman. And I thought I'd like to have me one of them. We went in through there, and my mama said, baby, what do you think you want for Christmas? I didn't know whether to tell her or not. And every year, we always got a bicycle. And, you know, my mama never asked me nothing that she didn't tell me with the means to make it happen. Now, back in them days, some of you will remember, we had the layaway plan. Y'all remember that? The layaway plan. And when I told her I'd like to have that Apollo Racer, she called a man over there, the clerk. And you know what excited me? Lord God, why would a man shout over something like his? They take that bicycle I picked out and they roll it in the back. Lord, have mercy. And they put a little pink tag and a thing on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And that said it was going to be mine at Christmas time if she paid that money.
I read that verse right there, and I got to thinking, great God up in heaven, the Lord, he said, fear not, for I am with thee. I am thy God. I will not fear. I'm about to run now. And I thought, Lord, that's when I needed you. You've been there for me every time. Christmas time come around. I know, like some of the rest of you, that told them kids there's a Santa Claus, and they lied to all of us. I couldn't hardly go to sleep. I thought, oh, I wonder where that bicycle's at. And my mom and daddy never put nothing out. There wasn't no such thing as opening nothing on Christmas Eve. You didn't get it to Christmas Day. And oh, I was so restless. They said you got to go to bed, and I'd go in there and pretend I was asleep and everything else. I couldn't wait till morning. And I can remember one little morning. It was so cold outside that Christmas, and that little old bike came in there, little old red, and I went outside. It was so cold. And I remember riding that bike till I couldn't hardly move my hands. My hands was about froze, and I thought, you know, I don't want to leave it. I fell in love with it. And you know, I thought as a child that was a wonderful thing. I've grown a little since them days. I found out the most precious the most precious thing in my life is the presence of God. And I've forgotten all them promises at some time or another. I know I ought to do better. And the Lord says, fear not. Oh, I wished I could have steeled that voice in my nights to say, go away. You're lying to me. But in the back, I could hear that same old drum. It don't look good. Until the Lord came. I want to tell you something. There's a resurrection when the Lord shows up. I'm convinced that when the Lord's presence is evidenced, there is a resurrection of the Bible. I'm convinced of it. This scripture right here is not without the revealed presence of God. You said, prove it, all right? He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He knew that there was a problem in their life, but he wanted them to know he was supreme over their life. He wanted them to know he was mighty and exceeding all their problems. And then he knew they got feeble and they were frail. He said, I will strengthen thee. See, God knew they got weak. You know, when people do most of their talking is when they're most confused. Most of the time, when they do most of their talking, they're most perplexed and confused. See, after I get peace in my heart when I'm praying over something, the Lord gives me confidence. I don't worry about it no more. I don't even care. But I got this nature about me. I kind of have to talk things through, talk things out. For the record, let me tell you something. A man is made from a seed that manufactures his ability to think his way through it. God made a woman to feel what she does. And she is moved by what she feels. I think there's a reason that man and woman was made to go together is because God knew that man would become cold and morbid if all he ever done was think and have no feeling. Let's go ahead and face the facts now. Sometimes all we are is a lot of hot air. There got to be a little feeling with this other stuff. And when you put the two together, you got sensitivity and reason. Let me conclude. Forgotten promises. They had forgotten the revealed dynamics of his presence. God's presence secured them. He said, be not dismayed. God's peace satisfies. Amen. I didn't get there, but I was just about to. God's power strengthens. We need that, don't we? Huh? We need the Lord to strengthen us. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, I'm going to tell you just as plain as I can tell you tonight. You need to quit telling yourself some of this stuff.
I want to tell you something. I don't care what no doctor said. If you write yourself off based on what some other fellow said is going to happen in your life, regardless of what kind of condition you got, it'll run you in a grave, and it could be an early one. You know, one of the reasons I believe my daddy had such a kickback from cancer, it didn't make no difference what they told him. He didn't believe none of it. He said, "That's ignorant." Well, he'd been living it out. They give him 6 months. Now, I don't know. That's been 12, 13 years ago, 14 years ago. I mean, they done wrote him off. They done had him, man. I mean, it was over. They done wrote doom across his forehead. He may die tonight. But he's outlived by far what they said he'd live. And the good thing about it, he's been living on grace. By the way, is there anything else? Forgotten promises. Some of you in this room, you've forgotten the promises. You've forgotten the promise that God said he'd be there. Amen? You've forgotten the promise that God said he'd be there for you. You've forgotten the promises that the Lord says that he'll be there to strengthen you. He'll be there to comfort you. He'll be there to satisfy you. He can bring peace. He can still the storm. You know what? We're so afraid because we want to talk God into something we're not sure is his will. Can I tell you something tonight? This is God's truth. If I know anything about this sorry fellow you're looking at, I know one thing. I know God's got the best plan. I know God's got the best plan. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but I do believe it. And if we'll ever come to grips with that, it'll change us. Let's pray.